So Shemos Tafshin Ayin this year.
Wait. Okay.
Shemos Tafshin Ayin. Today's learning will be Lalias Aliyah for the neshama of
Esther bat Rabbi Abba v'Rachel.
Esther bat Rabbi Abba v'Rachel. Also Refuah Shleima for Yerachmiel Avram ben Bela, Anne ben Sion ben Elka Esther. Refuah Shleima. Okay, so Shemos Tafshin Ayin. Our job today is to focus on the first few words of the parsha, Ela Shemos Bnei Yisrael Haba'im Mitzrayma. That is going to be the subject of our talk today. Now, we're going to be speaking about the names of Klal Yisrael, of the Shvatim. And we're also going to be speaking about the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has many names. We're going to be focusing on what the concept of a name means, a name of God. Because sometimes we don't talk about the name of Hashem. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, directly. Or, Halu Es Hashem. But sometimes we speak about praising the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, praising the name. So we're going to speak about the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the names of Klal Yisrael. We're also going to understand the beginning of the Sefer and the end of the Sefer. The beginning of the Sefer is these are the names of Bnei Yisrael that are going down, or rather that are coming, Haba'im Mitzrayim, coming to Mitzrayim. And of course the end of the Sefer is about the Mishkan, the Mikdash. And the middle is about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the whole Sefer, Ramban tells us, is called Sefer HaGeula. Sefer HaGeula begins with the names of Bnei Yisrael coming down and ends with the Mikdash. Because, according to Ramban, and this is classic Jewish thinking, the purpose of the Geula was the Mikdash, and the Geula was not complete without the Mikdash, because the Mikdash is base tefillah. Ultimately, the point of the Mikdash is a place where Klal Yisrael come and can stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do the avoda, the service, which is a form of tefillah, a higher form of tefillah, or, you know, an original form of tefillah, and receive a kapara and be reconnected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and begin and continue to engage in and to rededicate ourselves to the tachlis of our creation. So the whole Sefer Geula, which of course, as we said, ends with the Mikdash, which is the point of the Geula, begins with the names of Klal Yisrael Haba'im Mitzrayim. So we're going to look at the whole Sefer as a totality. Now, the fact is that it's a little strange on a simple pshat level to start the Sefer with the names of the Bnei Yisrael that are coming to Mitzrayim, because we just heard their names in the last parsha. We know what their names are. Why is there another listing of the names? So Rashi says the following. Af al pi, even though, Shemina an b'chayehem, that he counted them and he mentioned them while they were alive, bishmosam, according to their names. Chazar, he went back, umina am, and pointed them out, counted them again, noted them, b'misasam, in their death, lahodia, to teach us, chibasam, how beloved they are. And then he goes on to say, shenim shalu l'kochavim, they are compared to stars, shemotzien u'machnisim b'mispar u'bishmosam, that Hashem brings out and brings in by number and by name. And he quotes here, Hamotzi b'mispar tzva'am, Hamotzi b'mispar tzva'am l'chulam b'shem yikra, the pasuk from Yeshayahu. So he compares them to stars. We're not going to focus on that part, but just as every star, every source of light is important and plays a role, so too Klal Yisrael. But the main thing we're going to focus on is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and mentions them in their death because there's so much love for them. Now, the ideas that we're going to speak about today come from Moshe Shapiro. And sometimes, you know, we work with words, we use certain words, we talk about certain topics, but they never come into focus until you get the key, you get the key, you know, to the secret that kind of opens up the whole a whole new idea, and you realize that we could be sometimes looking at a stone that on its surface, you know, glitters and shimmers and it's beautiful and the depth of color is beautiful and the intensity of color is beautiful and the sparkle is beautiful, but we don't focus on every little facet and the role that every facet plays in making that stone so beautiful. Here, Moshe Shapira brings our focus to a little facet that we overlook, completely overlook. And it jumps out at us, and we never thought of it. At least I never thought of it. It's very profound, but it's very nuanced. Moshe starts out by saying, Eila Shemos B'nei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayim. These are the names of the children of B'nei Yisrael coming to Mitzrayim. The simple meaning is that, you know, these are the B'nei Yisrael. These are the children of Yisrael. But the Medrash goes on to say that what the Pasuk is trying to tell us is not the people who came to Mitzrayim, but the names that are coming down to Mitzrayim, that the names are going to Mitzrayim. Eila Shemos, these are the names of Bnei Yisrael, the names that are coming to Mitzrayim. What's so significant about the fact that these names are coming down to Mitzrayim is because in those names, embedded in those names, is the promise and the root of the Geula itself. The names of the children of Yaakov have in them, they mean the core of the Geula. They are the promise, the lifeblood, the beating heart of the Geula. So before HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever started the Gullus, before the actual people ever came into Gullus, the names, which are the root of the Geula, were coming down to Mitzrayim too. So he brings down the following Medrash, Rabbah. It's Shemos, you know, Aleph, the first parak in the Medrash Rabbah, section 5, right? The Eilish Shemos B'nei Yisrael, and these are the names of B'nei Yisrael. Al Shem Geulas Yisrael Nizkrukan. These names are mentioned for the purpose of the Geula. These names have within them the promise, the guarantee of the Geula. Now, they were already named earlier. And when these Shvatim were named by the Imahos, by the way, named all the Shvatim, right? Except Binyamin. But when the Shvatim were named, they were named according to realities that related to Rachel and Leah and the situation that existed then in building up Klal Yisrael. But the fact that they're mentioned again teaches us, and that's what the Medrash is going to tell us, that way more than those implications of their name, there is something much larger going on. So, these names represent the Geula of Klal Yisrael, and the Geula is coming to Mitzrayim before the Golus ever starts. So here's the names. And this is a long Medrash, but we're going to read it, okay? Each and every one. Reuven Shenemar. Why is the name Reuven mentioned? Why is this name coming to Mitzrayim? Because this name means Ra'o Ra'isi Es Ani Ami. I have definitely seen, surely seen, the suffering, the poverty, but the inu, the torture, the poverty of spirit of my nation. And that's why this name comes to Mitzrayim, because it represents Hashem's awareness of the suffering of Klal Yisrael. Shimon Al Shem. This name comes to Mitzrayim, but Yishma Elokim es nakasam, because it teaches us that God is hearing our cries in Mitzrayim. So the name Shimon comes to Mitzrayim. Eila Shemos. These are the names that are coming to Mitzrayim. The name Shimon comes to Mitzrayim, so that while we exist in Mitzrayim, we know that Hashem is hearing our cries. Levi. Why is the name Levi coming to Mitzrayim? Al Shem Shenischaber, and this is what we're going to focus on, Shenischaber HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tzarasam, that Hashem was joined to their Tzara, part of their Tzara. For example, that Hashem spoke Mitoch HaSneh, from the midst of the Sneh, which is in Perek Gimel of this Parsha, L'Kayem Ma Shenemar, to be Mekayim, what it says, Imo Anochi B'Tzara, I am with them in their Tzara. Levi means to be Melavet, to accompany, to escort and to accompany, to be one. So Hashem, the name Levi came to Mitzrayim to teach us that Hashem was with us in the Tzara, like the burning bush, like the flame of Hashem was in that dried out bush, that humble, you know, lifeless bush, that Hashem was there with it, and so Hashem is also with us in the Golus, he's part of it. That's why the name Levi came to Mitzrayim. Yehuda, Why did the name Yehuda come down to Mitzrayim? Al Shem Shehodu LaHakadosh Baruch Hu. It's because the name Yehuda teaches us that while we're in Mitzrayim, they would praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu nonetheless. They would praise the name of Hashem nonetheless in Mitzrayim. That's why Yehuda came. Yisachar. Why did the name Yisachar come down to Mitzrayim? The name Yisachar came down, Shenasan Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Schar, that Hashem gave them reward of Shibudam, of their slavery, of their enslavement. What did Hashem give them? He gave them Bizas Mitzrayim, the booty, the loot of Mitzrayim, Ubizas Hayam, all the loot on the Yam, all the gold and silver and stones that they were tempting Klal Yisrael to return to Mitzrayim with that washed up on the seashore. That was their reward for their hard work. Hashem gave it to them. L'kayim ma'shenemar, to be Makayim, to fulfill what it says in Bereishis, what Hashem promised to Avraham in the Bris Ben Hafsarim. Ba'acharei Kain, and after it, Yetzu Baruchosh Gadol, they will go out with great wealth. So the name Yisachar came down to Mitzrayim to remind Klal Yisrael to that they will get Tzchar for what they're doing. Why did the name Zevulun come down to Mitzrayim? Each name, not in general, but each name individually came down to Mitzrayim. And the name has within it the root of the Geula itself, before the Geulas ever really got going. So the names of Klal Yisrael we're seeing are the names of the Geula. Why did Zevulun come down? The name Zevulun come down to Mitzrayim. Al Shem, because Shehishkin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechinas Bekirbam, that Hashem had His Shechina dwell in their midst. Shenemar, as it says in Shemos, Va'asu li Mikdash. V'shachanti b'socham, build for me a mikdash, and I will dwell in your midst, which was the case in Mitzrayim. V'ein zevulun elebeis hamikdash, and zevulun is synonymous, represents the beis hamikdash, shenemar, as it says, bano banisi beis zevul, lach, I have built a beis zevul, that's from zevulun, lach, meaning the mikdash, machon l'shiftecha olamim, it's in Malachim Aleph, where Shmuel dedicates the base of Mikdash. Bano banisi base of Vulach. I've built a base of Vul, the Vulan. Machon l'shivtecha olamim, a place where you dwell forever. So Zevulun represents the Mikdash, which represents Hashem's presence among us. V'shachanti b'socham. Binyamin. Why did the name Binyamin come down to Mitzrayim? Al Shem. Yemincha Hashem ne'dari bakoach. Your right hand, that's Binyamin. Benjamin, your right hand, Hashem, is exalted in strength, which was, of course, said on the Yam, in the Geula. They saw the right hand, in other words, the force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power of Hashem. Don, why did the name Don come down to Mitzrayim? Al Shem, on account of what it says in Bereishis, Perek Tesvav Pasuk Yedaled, Gam es hagoy asher yavdu Don anochi. The nation that will enslave them shall be judged. That's also Bris Ben Hapsarim by Avraham. V'achri kein yetzu b'ruchosh gadol, and then they'll leave with great ruchosh. We already spoke about that. Naphtali. Why did the name Naphtali come down to Mitzrayim? Al shem Torah u'mitzvos shenasan lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu shekasav behem. On account of the Torah mitzvos that Hashem gave Klal Yisrael, some in Mitzrayim, some when they came out of Mitzrayim, as it says in Tehillim, u'mesukim midvash, they're sweeter than honey. The Nofes, Sufim Nofes, is of course from Naphtali. Okay. God Al Shem Haman. Why did the name God come down to Mitzrayim? To give us a glimpse, to tell us about the man, Shehechilam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem fed them with. Shehu Kezera God. That's what the man is called. Like the seed of, that's a strange, it's very hard to understand.
What's it called?
Kezera God is the way it's described. Coriander seed, whatever it is. But it's called God. Kezera God. Which is how the man is described. Usher, why did the name Usher come down to Mitzrayim? Al Shem Shahayu Ma'ashurin Osan Kol Shom Egu Lasam Ugudulasam Dichtiv, so that it built them up and made them fortunate. Whoever heard about the Geula and the greatness, as it says in Malachi, the Ishru Eschem, and I will make you fortunate. Kol Hagayim Kitiyu Atem Eretz Chefetz Amar Hashem, you will be fortunate that all the Goyim will know that you will be considered Eretz Chefetz. So, ushers, Me'ushar, fortunate in the Geula. Yosef Al Shem, what is Yosef? The name Yosef come down to Gullus, even though he was already there. Al Shem Sha'asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in the future Hashem will increase. Lahosif Ligol Es Yisrael, Hashem will increase and save Klal Yisrael. Mimalchus HaRasha, from the tyranny of the wicked. Kishem Shagal Osa Mimitzrayim, just like he saved them from Mitzrayim. So Yosef isn't only representing this Geula, but Yosef represents the eventual future Geulas from Resha, from tyranny, from evil, just like Hashem saved them here, he will save them again. That's Yosef Hosafa. And he quotes in Yeshayahu, Vahaya Bayomahu, Yosef Hashem Sheinis Yado, Hashem will again, you know, extend his hand. V'chol ha'inyan. So, the Medrash here says that the names of Klal Yisrael that came to Mitzrayim are the names of the Geula. So that the Geula comes down to Mitzrayim with Klal Yisrael embedded in the names of the Shvatim. That's just step number one. Okay. From here we go on to begin to analyze the first bracha really in Shmona Esrei. The bracha which we call Avos. So we know that the bracha says, Zocher Chasdei Avos. Based on what we just learned, we're going to analyze this bracha. Zocher Chasdei Avos. You remember the chasadim of the Avos, the great chesed that the Avos did. Chazal say here that even when Zochus Avos is terminated, has been used up, no longer is active on our behalf, the bris that Hashem made with the Avos continues to be relevant and continues to function. The promise Hashem made with the Avos to eventually bring Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, give us the land. So Zocher Chasdei Avos, you remember the chasadim and the bris you made with the Avos, Umevi Goel, and you bring the Geula. Now look at the strange terminology. Libnei Bineihem, to the children of their children. Why not just say their descendants or their children, which we know means, you know, long term. So that's a question. The terminology you bring, you remember the Avos, and the children of the Avos' children receive the Geula. That means the Shvatim's children receive the Geula. Leman Shemo Be'ahava, on account of his name in love. Now, if it's Leman Shemo on account of his name, then it's for Hashem's sake. If it's Be'ahava with love, then it's for Klal Yisrael's sake. So it's either or. It seems to be a contradiction. So we have a couple. The phraseology here is awkward. Obviously, the bracha, which is written B'nevuah, by Anshe Knesset HaGedolah before Nevuah was taken away. Remember this, in Tefillah, by the way, we always say, this is just a tiny little tangent, we say that Tefillah, which ultimately is Shemona Esrei, is the core of Tefillah, is in place of Karbanos. But we also know that this Shemona Esrei was written by Anshe Knesset HaGedolah hundreds of years before the Karbanos were ever eliminated or lost to us. Hundreds of years before the Korban. How do we know that? Because the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah disbanded in the beginning of the Second Temple era. Why did they disband? Because Hashem took away Nevuah. So there was no Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. The last of them was Shimon HaTzadik, right? Remember, you read that in Pirkei Avos. And Shimon HaTzadik was in the time of Alexander the Great, which was 130 years before Hanukkah, which was, you know, 160 years before the Gullus, before the Korban. So Anshe Knesset HaGedolah disbanded in the beginning of the Second Temple era. And yet they put together Tefillah, which is supposed to be because there's no more Korbanos. So what my grandfather explains in his Rav Schwab on prayer is that they knew they were losing the Nevuah, and they knew that there'd be a Korban, which we've spoken about, and therefore they wanted to ensure that the Tefillah that we would have forever after would be written with words of Nevuah. So they wrote it while they still had Nevuah, way before it ever became necessary, in a sense, to become the only way we daven. So we see from the phraseology here that it's awkward unless we understand what the bracha is trying to say. So you bring, you remember the Avos, and then you bring Geula to the children of their children. So we have the Avos, that's the Zechus, the Bris, the merit. The Geula comes to the children of their children. So their children, which means the Shvatim, are also playing a significant role. Now we know what that role is. The role is that the names of the Shvatim are the seeds, the promise of the Geula that the children of them will experience in real life. Right? So the merit starts with the Avos. The children, the Shvatim, carry the guarantee of the Geula, carry it with them into Golus, as this long medrash we just read, that reminding us, keeping our spiritual heart alive in Golus with all the promises, guarantees of not only the Geula, but the Schar, but Hashem's presence among us, but the Tachlis, and that we can give Hoda'ah on, all of that exists with us. And then, because that is what keeps us alive in Golus, the children actually experience the Golus. They actually survive the Golus. So that explains Zocher Chazde Avos Umevi Goel Libnei Bneihem, to the children of their children. Their children play a very important role, the Shvatim. Their names are the names of the Geula. Their children experience the Geula. Okay? So like we said in the beginning, this is a nuanced, approach. It's a fine kind of brushstroke explaining the details. But let's go a little further. And he brings the Geula, Liman Shemo Ba'ahava. So is it for the sake of Hashem's name, or is it with love? Obviously it's both. How does it work together? So now we begin to talk about the name of Hashem, His name, okay? For the sake of Hashem's name. So we have a basic principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name has been connected eternally with our name. Hashem has called His name by us and has allowed us to be called by His name. So here's what it says. We say this here, Nesana Tokef, right? On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Ushameinu Karasa Bishemecha. Our name you have called in your name. You have linked your name to our name. We'll give examples of that. You have, our name is your name. We share the same name. We know that bi'ahava, with love, we know that when there's intense love between two people, there's a yearning, a craving for unity. How much unity? So that they share the same name. A oneness of body and soul, so that their name is one name. That's the ultimate of unity. So here, our name, we're saying, in Asana Tokuf, is been called by your name. We share the same name. So that's what we say in Asana Tokuf, Shameinu, and our name, Karasa, you've called Bishamech in your name, Ase Laman Shemecha, so do, on behalf of your name, V'kadesh es Shemecha, and sanctify your name, Al Mekadesh es Shemecha, on, by the people that are Mekadesh, your name. Our name in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one name. Now, what this means and the implications of this, the Beis Halevi explains. The Beis Halevi goes back to a pasuk that we have spoken about in the past. In the end of Vayigash, when Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, he stops in Be'er Sheva, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in a vision of the night, and he says to him, he gives him a promise. Now that's where we find Ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayim. Right there is where it already said these are the names of B'nei Yisrael that are coming to Mitzrayim. Right after this, Hashem appears to Yaakov and says to him, Anochi Hakel Elokei Avicha, I am the God of your fathers. Al Tira, don't be afraid of going down to Mitzrayim, because I will make you a great nation. Now here are the words the Beis Halevi focuses on. The words that precede, these are the names of Bnei Yisrael that are coming to Mitzrayim, which is mentioned again in the beginning of Sefer Geula. He says, Anochi Ered Imcha, I will go down with you. What does that mean? Hashem doesn't move from place to place. Right? And then he goes on to say, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim, I will go down with you to Mitzrayim. The Anochi and I, Aalcha, I will bring you up, Gam Alo, and also come up. So the Beis Halevi says something here, which he calls the greatest of all the promises that Hashem ever made to Klal Yisrael. His words are, V'kan ba lo haftacha hagedola shebechol haftachos. This is the greatest promise of all the promises ever made, the most astonishing promise, and the source of our constant faith and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our ability to live again and again and again, to constantly be renewed. Hashem says, I will go down with you, and we'll focus on what that means in a minute, and I will bring you up, but then there's two more words, Gam Alo, and also come up. The Beis HaLevi says, I cannot come out of Golus unless you come out of Golus. When I bring you out of Golus, I will also come out of Golus. My ascent is directly linked, intertwined with your ascent from Golus. I will bring you out, and then I will come out. When you are in Golus, I am in Golus. When you will be released from Golus, I will be released from Golus. My name is bound up with your name. The Anochi, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, exists bound up with the Klal Yisrael. Only through our ascent is the ascent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what he says here is the most wondrous promise is that the glory of Hashem will never be revealed except through the deliverance of Klal Yisrael. Only through the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael is Hashem's name truly revealed. Every example, every experience, every time that Klal Yisrael experience a geula, that is the only way that Hashem himself's name can be revealed in the world. Because Klal Yisrael and the geula of Klal Yisrael carry Hashem's name with them, and Hashem's name will not be known in the world, not be sanctified through any means other than our geula. Now, why is this the case? So it is the case because Hashem's name, the Hashem's name is, we have a couple of names of Hashem, obviously, that we work with. We're working with the names of Hashem that are revealed through the geula. Hashem is called the following. Listen, these are quotes we use all the time, phrases we use all the time that we don't focus on. Goa Leinu Hashem Tzavakos Shemo. So what is the name of Hashem Tzavakos? What is Hashem's name? Goa Leinu. That's Hashem's name. Our Redeemer. So Hashem's name is our Redeemer. So our name, who we are, Klal Yisrael, and Hashem's name, which is Goa Leinu, our Redeemer, are intertwined. Our Geula is Hashem's name. It's one of the ways Hashem is expressed, manifest, made the awareness of Hashem exists in this world through the fact that He saves Klal Yisrael. That's His name, Goalenu. You know some other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu here? Podenu Umatzilenu Me'olam Shemecha. You're Pode us, you redeem us, and you save us, you're our Matzil. That's your name, Podenu Umatzilenu Me'olam Shemecha. That's your name forever. So what are Hashem's names? Goalenu, Podenu, Matzilenu. Those are the names of God Himself. So now we begin to see that when each name, Elah Shemos, these are the names of the Shvatim, the names of the Shvatim are about the redemption. Each and every one. The name of Hashem is our Redeemer. So our names, our literal names, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Hashem's name, Goalenu, it's all the same. Hashem is Goalenu, that's His name. Podenu, Matzilenu. Our names refer to that. They express that. They express Hashem's names. So our names and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names are all wrapped up in one. We share the same name. So that when Hashem says, Anochi Ered Imcha, I will go down with you and I will bring you up and then I will come up, it is because we are connected completely, so much so that the names are the same name. Now, very interestingly, we've talked here in this class that when it says Hashem goes down, right? We've discussed a basic principle in learning Chumash, critical part of the science of learning Chumash, that whenever Torah describes Hashem either having an emotional reaction or an emotion or a physical characteristic or movement, it is not describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem doesn't move from place to place. He's not a solid or a liquid or a gas that's more here and less there. So he's more here than he's more on Har Sinai than he's not over there. Hashem doesn't move. When it says Vayered Hashem, Hashem came down. Hashem doesn't work in dimensions, in height and length and width and things like that. When it says Hashem is angry, Hashem doesn't have emotions. Certainly our Averus and our mitzvahs, in a sense, don't affect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who preceded us and will be after us. Hashem would then be imperfect if our emotions could bother Hashem or can, you know, affect a change in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be a very limited and flawed God. And Hashem has no body parts, obviously, no physical characteristics. So, when we use the word Vayered, Hashem came down, I don't want to stress this point too much because we've spoken about it, it means not that Hashem moved anywhere, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed our lower level awareness to grasp more, to see more, to understand more of the nature and the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a moment. Hashem descended, so to speak, into our consciousness. Our consciousness expanded and we saw things we never saw. We understood things we never understood. Just to give you an example of this, there was an article about a year or two ago in the back of the New York Times Magazine about this, I guess, idiot savant kind of person that was a mathematical genius, so he could recite pi up to 10,000 as they were sitting there with their computers trying to keep up and see if he's right. They gave him the most complex equations and he knew the answers, complicated equations. And how did he do it? Because, interestingly enough, areas of our mind, our brain, that have many, many, many filters so that all stimuli and knowledge and awareness doesn't bombard us constantly and make us completely crazy. What the brain really does, most of the function of the brain, this is an interesting theory that's been developed, that most of the function of the brain is not so much to take in, but to filter out, to provide a ton of filters so that we can focus on one thing at a time. There's so many stimuli around us. If we were aware of them all, we could never focus. So some people, the way they're born, they have less filters. They are aware of more things, you know, that other people have no concept of, no connection to. So this guy explained that the way he figures out answers to equations is because in his mind, this is how he's born, every number has a color and a shape and a texture. So, when he has a complex number in front of him, what he sees basically in his mind is a landscape of colors and textures and shapes. And he can translate that into a number. And he's correct. Now, we also speak about numbers and colors and things. He said, by the way, that 8 is turquoise. We talk about that too, the Shema HaShemayim. Very interesting things. He had some interesting ideas about the number 9 and the number 1. And then he has a book out. I forgot his name. But, sorry. But, something like Mamet or something. But the point is that he perceives things that exist that we don't see. It's all blocked out. Sometimes in Kodesh Baruch Hu, like at Maimar Harsina, Ve'yered Hashem, it means that Hashem opens up the consciousness and we can see things that we could never imagine. That's why it says by Harsinei, they saw the sounds. And they heard the thunder. I mean, they heard the lightning. And they saw the thunder. Seeing sounds and hearing pictures. And that's what we're talking about. Now, so that's by Yered. Hashem allows our lower consciousness to be aware of things that otherwise are above us. That's called Hashem coming down. So we saw things, and what did we see? On Har Sinai and on the Yam, things that Yechezkel, Hanavi, in the Masa Merkava, didn't see. So, an enormous awareness. Okay, so every time it says Vayered, it means, Unkelus always translates the word Vayered as V'iskalise, and I will be revealed. Just interesting. By the word Vayera, it only comes up a couple times. By Sodom, right? I'm going to go the Erdanav, I'm going to go down and see the cries. By Mitzrayim at the Sneh, Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to go down. Ered, I'm going to go down and save them. Vayera Hashem Alahar and Har Sinai. And Vayera by the 13 meters Harachamim. And here. And Migdal Bavel. So what's interesting is...
hard to explain.
What's interesting is, I mean, we talked about this before. What's interesting is that every time it says Hashem goes down, you see, and only in those cases, that, for example, by Sodom, Avram starts arguing. How could you not be just? Moshe says to Hashem, from the time I came to Paro, you haven't saved them. He starts arguing. We have to be very careful. Just because Avram argued in that particular case and Moshe argued in that particular case does not give us a license to say, well, we can argue with Hashem when we don't understand the ways of the world. the way Hashem conducts the world. Those instances are preceded by Vayered, which means since Hashem, this is my grandfather points out, since Hashem allows himself, so to speak, to be understood by man's lower consciousness, in other words, we're given a great level of nevuah, is another way of saying it, that means Hashem wants to be understood by man. In those cases, man can attempt to understand Hashem, and that's why Avram argues, and Moshe argues, they're trying to understand the ways of Hashem because he wants to be understood. However, by the Akedah, Avram doesn't utter a word because it doesn't say, I'm going to come down. It doesn't give Avram permission to understand. The reason we can talk about Torah and discuss Torah, and there's a million gazillion books written on Torah, is because it says, Vayered Hashem al ahar, Hashem came down, wants us to grasp, wants us to understand. Not just sit there like robots and accept everything Hashem says, but work with it. However, here, this is the point. Every time it says Vayered, it says, Iskalisei, I'll be revealed. I'll be revealed in your minds. You'll understand more. However, here, when it says, Va'anochi Eired Imach, I will go down with you, Unkelus says, Ana Echos Imach, I'll go down with you. He doesn't translate it as I'll be revealed. Which means to say he's being literal. Hashem is going down. Now, he doesn't mean going down from a higher place to a lower place physically. He's saying that a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes into a lower state, galus, and he's stuck there. That's really what Unkelus is saying. So this explains, works with what we're discussing, that because Hashem's name is Goalenu, Podenu, Matzilenu, so as long as that hasn't taken place, Hashem's name is not revealed. Hashem is down in a lower state of human in the consciousness of man. Man doesn't perceive Hashem because his name is not revealed in the world. When Hashem is not revealed as powerful, as mighty, as all-controlling, then Hashem's name, in a sense, is in a lower state of existence. It's not known on a higher level. Why is Hashem's name not known? Because it's in Golus, because it's part of our name, because he's Goalenu, and he didn't do the Geula yet. So he's not known as Goalenu. He's not seen, he's not understood. So what he says here, the Beit HaLevi again, the most wondrous promise of all is that the glory of Hashem will never be revealed except through the deliverance of Klal Yisrael. That is how Hashem's name will be revealed. It has to be. His name Podenu can only be revealed through the pidgin. Right? His name Goalenu can only be revealed through the Geula. He says here, I will cause you, he goes back to this pasuk, I will cause you to ascend, I will also ascend. There will be no ascent for me without you ascending. Only through the ascension of Israel will his name will also ascend. So when we say here that he brings a Goel, Leman Shemo, the Ahava, that's the bracha, the first bracha that we're saying, on account of his name is in a state of galus. His name is desecrated. How is the only way Hashem can redeem his name? Through a goel of Klal Yisrael, through a geula for us is the only way out for Hashem, through our geula. And why is it like this? Because it's ahava. Because the greatest expression of love is when two people are so completely intertwined that they share the same name with each other. So what this is describing here, this bracha that Chazal wrote, is telling us, because they wrote it for the galus, they wrote it when Nevuah was coming to an end, for the duration, all the way until Mashiach, they explained to us in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem will bring a goel, Leman Shemo, on account of his name, which name? Goalenu, which is not being expressed, because of his great love for Klal Yisrael, that he intertwined his name with our name. Now here's what happens. We say, Baruch atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael. That's Hashem's name, Goel Yisrael. Now, it brings down the following. That in Yechezkel it says, Hashem tells Yechezkel to tell Klal Yisrael, L'chein emor l'beis Yisrael. Go tell Klal Yisrael. Ko amar Hashem Elokim. This is what Hashem has said. Lo l'manchem ani osa beis Yisrael. Not just for your sake am I doing this, Klal Yisrael. Ki im l'shem kachi, but for my holy name. Asher chilaltem bagayim, that you desecrated among the nations. Asher batem shom, that you came to there. B'kidashti yeshemi, and I have to sanctify my name, Shemi HaGadol. my great name, Hamechulal Bagayim, which is desecrated among the nations, Asher Shchilaltem Besochem, that you desecrated in their midst, Vayedu Hagayim Ki Ani Hashem, and the Gayim will know that I am Hashem, and Hashem, Elokim, these are the words of Hashem Elokim, Vihikadshi Bachem Le'enehem, and here are the words that I shall, when I will be sanctified through you before their eyes. Hashem says, my name is in a state of desecration. And that's, Klal Yisrael have contributed to that among the Goyim. And I have to sanctify my name through you, through your Geula. Those are the words of Hashem. I can only sanctify my name through your Geula because my name is Goaleinu, Goel Yisrael. So how else can I be known as that other than through your Geula? That's the great Ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. So what does Hashem have to do sometimes to ensure that the Geula can come to Klal Yisrael and thereby sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? So we said Hashem calls us the B'nei Banim. Mevi Goel le-B'nei Banim le-Man Shemo. So there's the Avos who are the source of the merit. The Banim of the Avos who carry with them the promise of the Geula in their names, which is Hashem's name, which is with us in Golos. By the way, he brings down, that's why Klal Yisrael did not change their names. That's the Yisod, that's the force that Klal Yisrael refused to use other names in Golos. Because these names were the Geula. The Geula was embedded in these names. Hashem's name is the same as these names. And the B'nai Banim, the children of the Avos, the children of the Shvatim who bear these names, eventually will merit the Geula, which is Hashem's Geula. But what happens if the children of these children start slacking off, start forgetting their role, start forgetting the Geula? Then what happens? So he quotes here that in contrast to Mevi Goel Libnei B'neihem, you bring a Geula to the children. He quotes what we read regarding the Golus. We read this on the Shabbos on Tisha B'Av. Comes from Devarim Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Hey. Now listen to these words: Ki Tolid Banim U B'nei Banim. If you're going to give birth to children and children of children, which is a play on these words. V'noshantem ba'aretz, and you're going to grow old in the land. What's going to happen? Avo tovedun maher, you're going to be lost. Me'al ha'aretz, from the land that Hashem has promised you. So the threat, the warning in that we read on Tisha B'Av is if you give birth to children and children's children and they get old, then bad things are going to happen. And what does it mean, and you get old in the land? V'noshantem ba'aretz, and you get old in the land. So the getting old is in direct contradiction to the Geula. Geula we always see as a new birth. Hachodesh hazeh lochem. The whole Geula is introduced as a chiddush, a new start. Something, not a continuation of the past, but connection to the past, and a brand new beginning. That's why when we talk about the Geula, which of course culminates in Matan Torah, in order to accept the Torah, which is the ultimate Geula of Klal Yisrael, the real redemption is redemption to serve Hashem, to live to our Tachlis. Ultimately, if you want to define Geula, it's that we exist living for our Tachlis. That means we're redeemed, we're free, we're living for our Tachlis and not for any other reason, but for our real purpose. That's ultimate freedom. That there's no other purpose that is hijacking our energies, distracting us. Real redemption is we can live solely for the purpose of our creation. Free, that's ultimate freedom. Charos. Charos, engraved on the luchos, the words, are charos, freedom. Okay. So this geula, which ends in Matan Torah, we know everybody had, the men had to have a bris milah, which makes, and everybody at Har Sinai was considered like a ger. We say that a ger that is nesgayer, Ketinok shenola dami, is compared to a brand new baby that's just born. Geula, which is Kabbalah Satorah, is chiddush. It's the beginning. It's new. It's a new start. The opposite end of that is you're going to grow old. You're going to get old and calcified. and stuck in your ways and stuck in your habits, and Torah is going to start to become a habit to you, and it's not going to have any meaning to you, and then you're not going to do it as much, and you're not going to do a simcha, and then you're not going to do it at all, and then you're just going to sin. And so this is these are the two contrasting kind of descriptions: chidush, newness, and oldness. The geula, which we carried into Mitzrayim, demands a chidush, a new start, an opportunity, and a possibility of starting over, of regathering strength, of turning your back on the past. What does Hashem do to us if we get old and start wearing out in Golus? Does He let us just die of old age? No way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is tied to our name. He can't let us die out in Golus. It's impossible. Because His name is Goalenu. And the point of the Bria is that everyone should know His name. So Hashem has to bring us to a point that we start over. A rebirth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many, many ways of doing this. One of the ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this is that He brings Klal Yisrael to a state of what looks like death, just so that it can be revealed that Klal Yisrael will never die. Remember what we said last week? The Masa of Asimen Labanim, the last event in Sefer Bereishis, we said it right in the beginning of the shir last week, the last event in Sefer Bereishis, which is Masa of Asimen Labanim, is the death, embalming, mummification, and burial of Yaakov. That's pretty scary that's the last of Maisa of a Simon Labanim, that the deeds, experiences of the father are a simon for the children. So that's how all of Jewish history ends. We live out, you know, on a national level, what they lived out on a personal level. Their deeds are a simon for us. So that's the end of Jewish history. Death, burial, that's the end. So we said, the Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, explaining the Ramban, in the end of Vayechi, explains, no. The Maisa of a Simon Banim is right before the Tkuf of Mashiach, right at the very end of Klal Yisrael's normal history, before Mashiach comes, which is not the normal history. Klal Yisrael are going to be seen in the eyes of the world as dead, more than seen. Just the last event is that Yaakov returns in a coffin to Eretz Yisrael, like a corpse. So he says that the last event in the history of Klal Yisrael before the Geula is they'll return to Eretz Yisrael like corpses, like skeletons, like in the eyes of the world, dead and buried. Who came back to Eretz Yisrael? People that looked like corpses. People that everybody thought were dead. People that were spiritually dead. Who do you think started and populated Nebuch, those kibbutzim where they ate chazer on Yom Kippur? People that were spiritually dead. Where did they die? They died in the concentration camps. They died in the Holocaust. They died through all the years of Golus. That's who they died. They were spiritually dead, but their bodies were alive. And through their bodies comes the Geula, because their children's children will come back and are coming back. They were spiritually dead. And people emotionally dead came to Eretz Yisrael. And physical walking corpses came back to Eretz Yisrael, right? And the whole world said, give them the land. It doesn't mean anything. The Arabs will finish them off in a week. A couple hundred thousand, you know, walking dead, it's meaningless. So what does the Torah tell us? Even though Yaakov was dead and buried and returned to Israel with a big funeral, Yaakov Avinu lo meis, the secret is, Klal Yisrael, we're not dead at all. And we weren't dead. And you know who else came back to those, in those bodies that look like skeletons? You know who came back? People that were strong as oxen, like Yosef. People that didn't eat treif in the camps came back. And people that trusted in Hashem every minute of the day came back. And people that a month and a year after the Holocaust were building yeshivas, that's who came back. Very much alive in a skeleton's body. So what happens is when we get old and we look like we're dying of old age in Golus, sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to make it look like we died and it's over. But really it's not. It's like you put a seed in the ground and it disintegrates, and then in the spring it shoots up again with more life. Hashem creates a rebirth. It must be. There are no options that Klal Yisrael will always be reborn, because it's the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be known in this world, through the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. What we're saying here is we can never be disheartened. We can never be hopeless. If it exists on a national level, it exists on an individual level. He brings down here Rambam, who quotes the following. He says that on an individual level, Kol HaPoresh Me'avera, whoever has a temptation to do an avera and resists. Okay, and we've spoken about this, you know, we're not going to go into it. By Avraham, Atzayadati Ki Yorei Elokim Ata, remember? If you don't remember, it's online. Kol haporish me'avera, whoever desists from a temptation to do a sin, o asa mitzvah, or does a mitzvah that they don't want to do, okay? In other words, whoever pushes himself for positive or negative, lo mipnei davar be'olam, not because of any reason, lo pachad, not because of fear, lo yira, not because of fear of punishment, not fear of people, v'lo levakish kavod, not because he's trying to get kavod, ella mipnei habore baruch hu, only because of Hashem, the Creator, the tachlis, the purpose of life, k'minias Yosef hatzadik atzmo me'eshes rabo, like Yosef held himself back from the wife of his boss, harezeh mekadesh es Hashem, this sanctifies the name of Hashem, which means to say, when a person, through the physical effort of resisting a sin or doing a mitzvah, which is another way of saying living for their tachlis, their purpose, living according to their purpose, which is another way of saying being in a state of geula, being able to live for the purpose we were created for and nothing else. No distractions, no hindrances. That's geula, that's total freedom. If a person does that, they have been mekadesh, sanctified the name. Which name? Goalenu. Podenu. Matzilenu, Goel Yisrael, the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael. That's the name we sanctify. Hashem's name, which is our name. So not just on an on a national level, when Hashem redeems us, like bringing us back to Eretz Yisrael after the Churban in Europe, and showing the world so many things. Klal Yisrael is indestructible, Klal Yisrael is eternal, our Torah is eternal, our mitzvahs are eternal, Torah will live again, our bonds are eternal. All is a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, sanctifies Hashem's name. So too, on an individual level, it's the same thing. When a person lives spiritually, is alive, is redeemed from the temptations and everything that's trying to pull them away, the distractions, the confusion, they are being mekadesh, Shem Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name. The only way Hashem's name is sanctified is through Klal Yisrael, individually and nationally. Could Hashem sanctify his name without us? He could have. He could do great wonders and miracles and make everybody recognize him, but that's not the route Hashem chose. Hashem chose that his name should be sanctified only through the achievements of Klal Yisrael. That's Shemecha, Shemenu Nikra B'Shemecha. Our name is your name. We share the same name. So to round it out and to end here, you can ask your questions. These are Eila Shemos B'nei Yisrael Habam Mitzrayim. These are the names that came to Mitzrayim. The names that came to Mitzrayim are the names of the Geula, the guarantee of the Geula. The names of Hashem himself came down to Mitzrayim. Okay. Yes.
Announcements.
And it's called Sefer Shemos. Very, very good. And, oh, announcements. I have very... Right, Daniel Tammet. How do you know?
Blacker.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, wait, announcement, stop. A couple things. Number one, not everybody's here every week, but a couple, on Hanukkah, I'm not wearing it today, you gave me that beautiful diamond and sapphire necklace. I want to thank everybody again, whoever I didn't thank the first time. It's gorgeous, and I get a lot of compliments on it. I just forgot to put it on today. Second of all, another very important announcement. The Young Israel office has an email list for whoever gave them their name so that when there's a cancellation, you'll get it on email. Whoever didn't give their name, their email to them, go and give it. Third of all, remember Tzili Schneider, who was here, who has the Kesher Yehudi program that I started, two chaburas we learn and people donate money to support her program. And many of you, I have the list, have given her money. I have a lot of names here. Lerner, Fisher, Goodman, Schiff, Diamond, Mutchik, Sarnoff, Gluck, Bell, Felsen, Felder Foundation, Haber, Kaplan, Rothenberg, Lippmann, Bick, Winkler, Krieger, Shiner, Balter, Grossman, Martin, Klein, Kaufman, Feigenblum, Rosenthal, Reich, Fuchs, Feiner, Bornstein, Bodner, Rosen, Rendell, Mark, Schwartz, Wolfson, Prager, Frank, and whoever else gave her money that might not be on this list. I want to tell you something. She's coming for Shabbos. I would very much like whoever gave her money or is part of the Chabura or wants to perhaps, continue giving her money, or perhaps join our Chabura, which we could use more attendees. I would like to make a Malava Malka for her, so that people who supported her can meet her personally, hear what she's doing, which is astonishing, get to know her, know where your money went. If anybody who gave or would like to give money or just wants to meet an amazing person can join us for Malava Malka this month's Shabbos in my house, please see me afterwards. especially the people in the Chabura, they should, of course, I've spoken to them individually to come meet her. They're very much, you know, they donate on a regular basis. But I want to open this up for everybody. And it's a very special person, an astonishing person. You get to hear, she'll tell you all about what's going on, all the advancements. So come see me. Okay, have a wonderful week, everybody.
Esther.
What is this? Stop. Shani Fastin, Liba Bas Baruch Rafu Shalema. Thank you.
Can I ask you something?
Yes, go ahead.
You said...